Everyone, welcome to the last session. So as we announced yesterday, we are going to have a round of lightning talks. So now is your chance to have your 5-minute elevator pitch to tell like your colleagues and friends something interesting, like a productivity hack or the project you're working on. So as I said, how this works is it's first come, first serve. I've got one slide submission so far, but of course, everyone can make up something on the fly. So you can talk about anything except for over 5 minutes. That's generally the rule. So who wants to present something? Then please come up to the front row, and then we go in order. So I know, Marco, you have something prepared. Otherwise, well, then it's Marco first. Oops, not this one.
Thank you. I would like to talk about system containers, where there is a root user and it is untrusted. I have been discussing this in the past few years at this conference with many people, and usually I'm told that this is insecure, but then there is a lot of hand waving and there is never a full explanation of why. You may want to take this as a challenge. I will probably lose it, but I hope that we will learn something useful in the process. So, my little experiment, I used a Debian stable system, so slightly old systemd and kernels, and spawn to create a container. And in the container, there is another normal Debian system built with the bootstrap, which is booted the usual way. The idea is that whoever has root in the container should not be able to escape to the main system. I think that it will be useful to identify two classes of vulnerabilities, just a plain denial of service, like crashing the system or rebooting it, something like that, and actual access to the host system. This is the configuration. As you can see, private users, so user namespaces. Root user inside the container is not the real user, the real root user of the host system. I drop some capabilities, which I felt would be insecure. Most obvious is capsys admin, which is root equivalent. Capsys module, still root equivalent. And others that I felt they were not needed in for a normal system. Are still left quite a few other capabilities. I'm still not totally sure about kapf set ID, which allows setting file system capabilities. I've learned today that there is some work in recent kernels that allows virtualizing that with user namespaces. But anyway, if that's a problem, it can be removed easily, because at least Debian systems can work as well without file system capabilities. Temporary file system is a workaround, because at some point systemd expects to mount tempfs over there, but it cannot, because the ability to mount and unmount file systems has been removed by removing the associated capability. So I have nspawn mount one, and this works around the problem. When I start the container, there are a few errors. The first two are totally cosmetic. Nspawn already sets the container host name, so it does not matter that systemd cannot do it again. Second error does not matter. This is a setting which is system-wide, and it has already been set by the host system, systemd. The other two, there are then a few errors, like the last two ones, about assessing some cgroups. I'm not sure about that, but the system still appears to work. So I would like to know from you if this container is secure or is it possible to escape from it to the host system? And if it is possible, why? Can we work around this with the current kernel features or not? Because I think that this is a pretty useful feature that should be supported. Thank you. It's up to you now. I expect that somebody will have will tell me how they plan to escape this container.
Please update your kernel. You're on 490.
Hang on. Okay.
Yes, that's 490 is the kernel in Debian stable.
Please update your kernel. That one's basically you're basically dead. If I can access local TCP calls, if I can access if I can execute ELF binaries, this kernel has known issues. You should be on 4.9.120-ish at least.
Yes, but it does not matter because that's just the Debian version. Security patches are applied on the Int.
No, they don't count as up.
Irrelevant detail.
Okay. But yeah, but otherwise, I think Stefan Graber has just done a talk about like LXD and how to do user containers, like non-root containers, and I guess he has a lot of answers about that too, like how to use seccom filters and what to exclude. So, but thanks for that experiment. Nobody else wants to go, then I will go next. So I'm Martin Pitt. I work in the cockpit team. And as you see in my very carefully designed nice slides here, we are all over design. Actually, so cockpit, if you don't know it, it is a Linux session in a web browser. So essentially, it allows you to administer your Linux servers from a web browser. And in order to do this, we talked to about 100 system APIs, ranging from user add, shadow, the Docker socket, or like the UDISC's dbus API, systemd, you name it. And we test on more than a dozen of operating systems, like every single change. And we run hundreds of test cases. And as you can imagine, with this combinatorial explosion, we essentially test all of these systems a lot. And we find a lot of bugs. And I want to show you how we find and track those. So this is a pull request where like an automatic bot rebuilds a fresh image of Fedora 27 in that case. That happens about once a week for like all of these operating systems. And this is the source where we find a lot of problems. So in this case, we see here like the first naive attempt just failed. There were some test failures. So then, of course, a human has to look into this. So you stare at this for a while and figure out what the problem is. So in this case, it was a regression in SL Linux. So the next step that we do, we are good citizens. We file the bug downstream to the place where it belongs. So in this case, to the Fedora SL Linux policy. So we find a reproducer and describe the problem, et cetera, et cetera. And so the trick is we file then an upstream issue that essentially reference this downstream report so that we have a pointer and we can essentially link to all of these downstream reports to Ubuntu, to Debian, to RHEL, to Fedora, you name it. And we have them all in a kind of GitHub issue database on our side in cockpit. And we give them this special non-issue. And then we essentially create a pattern which we call a naughty override that looks at the test output, and if the pattern for this override matches, we know that like we hit this bug in this operating system. So it applies to Fedora 27, and it is issue 9507. So whenever our bots then encounter this particular issue, they file an update to this this GitHub issue with the exact test output. And we have the pointers to the logs and artifacts and core dumps and whatnot. We have the particular time. And what this allows us to do is we can automatically recognize it once the bugs get fixed, because otherwise these known issues would just pile up over time. So we see there's been a lot of those. So regularly, another bot goes to all of these issues and checks when it last happened. And if it didn't happen for 3 weeks, then it proposes to close these. So, and once again, of course, a human has to confirm these. So I see, okay, hasn't been occurring in 3 days. So I can check the downstream bug and see, yeah, indeed, there was an update here. So, and that was supposed to close the bug. And now we have proof that it doesn't happen anymore, because on our current Fedora 27 update, it doesn't happen. So we can close this and the issue goes away. And this is a problem. If we would do it manually, we would just go crazy. Like you see, these are all the known issues. So at the moment, we are tracking 49 regressions in some operating system. And the 123, they got closed recently. So this allows us to master this thing at scale without having any human effort, which is not strictly necessary. So thanks. So next up, Dan Walsh. You want to use one?
If you came to my talk earlier, I was talking about Podman. I also mentioned Builder. So let's. So anyways, this is Nalin Dibai. He's on my team. And about a year and a half ago at DevConf, we were sitting there and he's the maintainer of container storage. And while we were talking about container storage, I was basically telling why I don't like Dockerfile. The biggest problem to me with Dockerfile is it forces all of the tools to build the container have to be inside the container image. So basically you end up with like Yum and Python and all this stuff. If all you want to do is run a web service, why do we have all this extra content inside the container? We were talking about container storage, and I basically said, you know, why can't I just have core utilities for containers? So I basically wanted just a bash capability. Give me a directory. I put content in the directory, and I make a container image out of it, and I push it to a container registry. So he asked me, so he said, yeah, we could probably do something. And actually, this was like the first day of the conference, and the third day of the conference, he actually demonstrated it. But he asked me what to call it, and of course, I told him, I said, I don't know. I can't name things. Just call it Builder. So of course, he made fun of me, and he created Builder. Made fun of my accent. So what can you do with Builder? So Builder is now a product in our suite. This is actually the latest coloring book. We represent it as a dog. It's a Boston Terrier, for anybody that wants to know. And I think it looks just like Nalin. So, but anyways, it's a Builder is a core utilities for building container images. That's the way I like to describe it. One of the big commands you can do is you can do Builder from Fedora. So this is based on the Dockerfile thing, but basically from this will go out using containers image and pull the Fedora image off of a container registry, store it on top of copy on write, usually over LAFS, and actually creates what's called a Builder container. This is somewhat different than other types of containers. It's an overused term. So the next point is we mount the container. So there's a Builder mount command. This returns a mount point where the container is mounted. Quick segue. In Docker, there's a thing called Docker copy. And this thing actually allows you to copy content from a container image to your host or from your host into a container image. So they built this really cool tool to do it called Docker copy. So I decided to build my own tool. I called it copy. And so you're able to copy content from the host into the container, or you can copy content in the container out to the host. But I didn't stop there. I also created DNF. Sometimes I call it YUM, sometimes DNF, and you can actually install root, install into the container directly. I didn't stop there. We also created make. So you can do make install, destir, and you put it into the container. So when you're done putting your content inside the container, and of course nothing goes in the container except what you, put into it, there's no extra stuff. You can do build a config, and this sets all these other fields that you see inside the Docker file, like the entry point, commands, environmental variables you want set. Basically, it configures the image spec. When you're done with that, you call build a commit, and that actually takes the container and creates a local image on your system. Once you're done with that, you can push the container image from your host to any of your favorite container registries, moves it up, and basically this image is as small as possible based on packages, the amount of packages that you're going to put in there. You can put a single binary in. You can do whatever you want. So if anybody came earlier, anytime you see red on the screen, you have to say it. Well, of course, we support Dockerfile because that's what everybody wants you to do. So we support Dockerfile. We have build using Dockerfile. Of course, we use a shorter name for that because we're lazy engineers, and we call build a bud. And of course, Anheuser-Busch does not have any rights on that name. So we use build a bud, which uses supports Dockerfile. Actually, it does. I wrote a big scripting language for it. This is one of my proudest works. I wrote Bash, so you can actually build containers using Bash. And the really interesting thing is the way we can run and build containers. There's no daemon. There's no way. The way we can share information is I built this really cool thing. It's called a file system. Okay, and I have lots of different versions of it, but you can basically share storage between containers and between processes. You can have Podman, Builder, Cryo, all these different tools using it. So anyways, that's Builder as quickly as I could do. I don't know if I did in 5 minutes, but thanks.
Oh, does anyone else want to go? Otherwise, then, let's have another coffee before the closing session, I suppose. Thanks.